What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, April 15th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the bald one, Gary Whitta.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I've missed you.
How long? It's only been a week, hasn't it?
I know, but it feels so much longer.
But what a long time.
Time's lost all meaning here. It's just stretches.
The days of the week are meaningless. Nothing means anything.
They all blend together.
How you doing? Still doing good over there in isolation?
I'm trucking along, Gary. It's all you can do.
You're lucky that you're cooped up with some cool people, though. You know, Lucy and Jan and Porty. Like, you know, if you're going to be cooped up, you may as well. It's a good house to be cooped up in.
I know. I hear your kids driving you crazy. Wife won't stop nagging you.
She's delightful. She saw, this is cool. So she saw Trolls World Tour over the weekend. Because, you know, they released that movie digitally because the theaters aren't open. And now my kid has discovered classic rock music, and she's rocking around, throwing up the devil horns and the headbanging to AC/DC. So I couldn't be more proud.
All right.
It's absolutely fantastic.
That's why you get into being a parent, right?
Oh, my God. It's the best. It's the best.
All right. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
But I'm also proud of the news. It turns out Fortnite's getting delayed. Wait, what? The Cooking Mama drama is still getting weirder, and things are maybe getting better at Rockstar. We're going to talk about all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can give us your questions, your comments, your squad up requests. You can watch the show ad-free. You can watch it without any, I already said the ads. You can watch it with the post show that we do exclusively each and every afternoon or whatever. But more importantly, you can just support us. However, if no bucks toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live on Twitch, hey, do you have Amazon Prime? You have Twitch Prime. Give us that free 30-day subscription. Of course, you also have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. This afternoon, Wednesday, 415, that's right, for April 15th, I am streaming the Division 2 raid with Fran and some best friends. It's all benefiting the American Cancer Society. You can watch live twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. More importantly, you can donate and support me as I represent the University of Missouri in the American Cancer Society College Streaming Tournament. We have made it to round two. I need your support at kindoffunny.com/Mizzou. Of course, like I said, you can come watch live, though, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And then, also in housekeeping here, Gary, right before this, you were doing your Animal Crossing stream.
Yes, I stream every morning, 9 a.m., twitch.tv/GaryWhitta, Animal Crossing Mornings with Gary. It's been a huge hit.
Yeah, it's changed your life, I heard.
It's changed a lot of people's lives, Greg.
Exactly. Now, you sent me a cool gift, though.
I sent you a gift. It's something that Adam Nickerson sent to me. Uh-huh. And when I saw it, I thought of you immediately. And so I thought the best thing that I could do is pay forward all the love that Adam was showing me. And I feel like you would appreciate this item more than I would. So I've sent it to you.
It says, "Dear Greggy, when I saw this, I thought of you," from Gary. Also, I appreciate it. It's Gary with an exclamation mark. Your name, you know?
Yes.
Gary!
It's not just from Gary. It's from Gary.
A raccoon figurine.
Just bear in mind, you're a little bit out of focus now since you held the switch up to the camera.
Yeah, I'll fix that in a second. Hold on. I want to see what this raccoon's all about now. Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. That's going to become a key piece of my island. Hold on, close it.
Take your keyboard off.
I know why. When I switched it around, it got all...
Oh, I like you. Your avatar looks very much like you. You've done a good job there.
Thank you. Yeah, it's me in my final form, of course, in my Ghostbusters uniform.
If you want, Greggy, there's a beard for sale in my Able Sisters store today. You want me to send it to you?
No, Gary, I have the beard. I was one of the first people to find the beard there in the Able Sisters stores. And the problem is it just doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right? Okay.
I don't know if it's the, you know, cartoon kid visuals of Animal Crossing, but I look like I'm my Animal Crossing avatar in the alternate evil universe. Like when, you know, in the Star Trek, when they go in there, they find evil Kirk or whatever.
Mirror universe, yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't work for me and I can't do it.
I don't know why, like in the facial options, like when you go to a mirror and you can change up your look and your hairstyle, do they not have beards available there?
No, like not facial hair? You have to find them. You have to find them because they're like masks or whatever. Because again, you're all weird kids living with animals. Makes no
sense. Yeah, I suppose.
Greg, do you think maybe you should shave your beard off so that you match the character? You're only going to play this for three more months?
Him running around being with the other kid. Wait, what's going to happen in 3 months?
Well, I'm saying you're probably only going to play this for like 3 more months.
No, Kevin sounds like Kevin, someone who's never played Animal Crossing in his
Kevin,
life.
You were the one saying you thought I'd play it for a year.
Well, no,
from now,
I mean, but like in this manner, you know, where you.
Oh,
care.
I've already started tapering off where I'm not. It's yeah, like
that's
you know,
what
I'm
saying.
Not, I mean, I'm still it's still playing
you get
every
three
day,
months
but it's
of
not
slowly
like
tapering off until
it'll
you're...
taper off. But like you'll at least check in on your island every week, you know, for the
course,
for the
well,
foreseeable
I mean, turnips
future.
And stuff like that. I want to make sure
you got to get turnips. You got KK slider.
Why does everyone talk about turnips all the time?
Kevin, I've tried to explain it to you several times, and I'm not going to waste any more time, all right?
Okay,
did you download The Division 2?
Oh, you know, I
fucking
forgot.
Hate you. thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo, Al Tribesman, the Predator, it makes no sense, and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Hims and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be The Roper Report.
Time
for some news.
Hey, there's some news, Greg. I've had my head down. No idea what's happening in the gaming world.
Five items in the report.
Oh my god, I didn't like that.
Kevin, am I distorting? I sound in my headphones like I'm distorting, and I wonder if it's because they made me adjust my gain for the Kind of Funny podcast.
No, you sound good.
Perfect. That's what I want to hear. Yeah. Number one, Gary. Fortnite.
Yes.
Chapter 2, Season 2 has been extended. / it's been delayed. Hey all. This is from Fortnite, of course. We're extending Chapter 2, Season 2 of Fortnite beyond the original April 30th date. Our plan is to launch Chapter 2, Season 3 on June 3rd. Or, I'm sorry, June 4th. Before then, there's lots of content coming to the current season. We have multiple game updates on the way that will deliver fresh gameplay, new challenges, bonus XP, and a couple more surprises up our sleeve. For continued updates on the new Fortnite season and other plans, we'll keep you up to speed here and on our social channels. See you on the island, the Fortnite team. GameSpot points out, of course, because I think as we are inclined with any delay nowadays to jump to, it's coronavirus related, it's quarantine related. GameSpot points out in their article, this certainly isn't the first time Epic has extended a season of Fortnite. Season 1 of Chapter 2 was similarly extended by several weeks from its original December 2019 end date into February 2020. During that additional time, the developers held numerous events in the game, including a Star Wars Episode 9 preview and a Harley Quinn crossover event. Gary. Do you think this is normal Fortnite stuff, or is this working from home struggles and stuff like that?
I don't know, because I don't know what normal Fortnite stuff looks like. I have no interest in Fortnite. I don't play it. I presume that this is at the top of the batting order because Fortnite is a big game that a lot of people play.
Of course.
But this, and I'm sure a lot of people will have strong opinions about this. To be honest with you, though, Greg, I'm the wrong guy to ask, because I couldn't care less about Fortnite.
Well, I don't think it's so much a care thing as much as I would say that, you know, if Fortnite, like as they point out in GameSpot, right? Like we're talking about Chapter 2 being extended or Season 3 being delayed so Chapter 2 can run longer, right?
Okay.
This is meaning that Chapter 1 was delayed as well or ran longer as well.
So you're saying that spin?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, I think it's not spin as much because, I mean, either way, your game's not ready. It's not ready. Plus, Fortnite continues to make hand over fist. Like, Season 2 or Chapter 2 has been really good. I played a ton of it at the beginning of it.
Do you like Fortnite?
I do. Yeah, I come and go. Okay. I mean, it's one of those things where I run through cycles with it, Gary, where I will be off literally for a year, and then I will come back during Christmas break and play not at all. Like, what was it, Kevin? 2018, right? That Christmas break going into 2019, that's all I played that break. Sure. I should have played other Game of the Year things. And then, yeah, at the start of this year, I did 2 or 3 weeks where I was like all about it, and I was grinding out the battle pass, and we did a let's play that's up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames right now.
Let me ask you something, Greg, because the way for me to engage in this is to turn this into a more kind of general conversation about.
For the record, we were going to move it to a general conversation. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, great minds think alike, Greg.
That's why I love you.
Do you think that Fortnite, you blurry man? Do you think that Fortnite has peaked? And I say this only anecdotally, but I think I remember back to when like Ninja and Drake was playing, and that was like a big event, and it really, like, Fortnite has like been in the pop culture zeitgeist for a long time now. Like, it crossed over like into the true mainstream. I drop my kid off at school and I see all these kids wearing Fortnite clothes, and like, it's such a big thing. I feel like, and again, this is just anecdotally, I feel like that's tapered off a bit. I don't know, is that your feeling as well?
Yes, but I don't think, so to answer your question straight up in period, yes, Fortnite has peaked in terms of popularity, but that still doesn't mean it's not the most popular thing going right now. I just think it's not that, it's similar to what yesterday, I don't know if you saw, Imran tweeted out about, hey, it's interesting to see how many people have turned on Animal Crossing, and I hit him up, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I haven't really seen that. Is it the Bunny Day stuff? And he's like, well, that matched up with people just talking about, hey, I feel like I've done everything there is to do in this game. And I was like, oh, I haven't seen that much, yada, yada, yada. And so when I was having dinner with Lucy, I mentioned to her, like, hey, have you seen this anecdotally? And she's like, well, no, but I've definitely seen the hype where, you know, come down. It's not where it was. And I'm like, oh, well, of course not. You know, obviously when it first launched that first week, it was all anyone was talking about streaming,
right,
doing anything with. And now it is, you know, more of a, okay, cool, this is life with Animal Crossing. And I think that's the same thing with Fortnite, where Fortnite was this snowball tumbling down the hill, getting larger and larger and larger. And I mean, like, as they just pointed out, right? Like, when the first chapter of season two got extended, we had a preview for Star Wars built into it. We had a Harley Quinn event built into it. Like,
right
now, it's one of those things, like, Fortnite had to delete itself and turn itself off of everyone's machines for it to be news, like, to be really big. Like, holy shit, look what Fortnite's doing news again. Like, that means you're the biggest fucking thing in the world. You're the biggest thing in gaming. Like, if you have to, like, turning off your game.
Yeah, those kind of pop culture crossover events, like the Star Wars thing, like when they have bands do concerts there and things like that. They've done a great job of creating these events. And just when you feel like Fortnite is going off the boil, they come up with something new to kind of refresh it and get it back into the conversation again. And that's great. By the way, I didn't see Imran's tweet because I don't follow Imran on Twitter because he doesn't follow me. And I'm extraordinarily petty.
You're one of these types. All right.
Yeah, so, but I'm glad that you were able to kind of forward that to me.
No problem. I'll keep you posted. I'll give you a Imran Twitter.
If Imran says anything interesting, let me know.
it's like, I think Fortnite, yes, I think has peaked in popularity, but I think it's still the most popular game going. And I know there's an argument.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even Fortnite at like 50% of its power is still, you know, very
and that's
powerful.
The thing, I think it's just that we all, and I mean this in a good way, I guess, whatever. It's normal. It's just normalized that Fortnite is there and always there and awesome. And I'm the same way of, I'm not all talk on it, right? I'm all talk on a lot of things. Oh, I was going to platinum Metal Gear Solid 5. Oh, I'll get back to Persona 5. All that shit. I'm fucking all talk. But Fortnite was the one where I go through these, you know, monsoon seasons of playing it and then stay away for legitimately a year and then come back. And
that's a good way of putting it, monsoon season. Like, you know, it's a lot all at once, but it doesn't last.
Right. It's all I want to play. It's all I can think about. But it still works that I keep my ear to the ground about it. And when there is a cool skin, right, when they've dropped the Batman stuff and Catwoman stuff, I went and bought all that and didn't play any of it. Right. I gave them the money and it just sat there. And then, you know, when I came back, that's all I played as or whatever. Like, I think there's, I still struggle with it in the adjustment period of having these games as service that are going to go on for not forever, but for a long time. And for me, you know, not only how I played games, I think before I got in the industry, but I mean, like, not that I remember that, but being 13 years here, right, it in what my job is and what I think of myself as in terms of, I don't know, being a critic, a pundit or whatever, like, it's always on to the next thing. So it's still weird for me to go back to old things or stay on things a long time. You know, today we're doing, like I said, the Raiden Division. It's like crazy that I'm still able to put that many hours into the Division and that the Division keeps updating to make itself relevant. And there's something for me to go do.
I'm just waiting. The number one, I know it's my number one hobby horse, but as soon as they add cross save on the Division, I'll be back.
Okay.
But I want to play on my PC and I want to play on PlayStation with you guys. And once Ubisoft gives me the opportunity to do that, I will be back in. But no, it's interesting. You know, it's like Animal Crossing is the same thing, right? Like, everyone's playing it right now. I think Animal Crossing still is peaking, and I think it will continue to.
You peak. Think it's going to get bigger?
I don't know. I don't know. No, I think.
What does peaking mean? I guess to you.
I mean, it'll continue to be at the level that I don't think it's going to taper off until the lockdown ends, basically, because it's the ultimate lockdown game. Like, you know, you get to escape into it's a game where you can actually go outside and hang out with friends, which we can't do in the real life in real life right now. I think it will taper off. But the great thing about Animal Crossing and all of these games is that these seasonal events bring you back in. You know, like even I guarantee you, like even people that have tapered off from Animal Crossing, like when Halloween rolls around, everyone will be back because they all want to be a part of whatever Halloween event.
Dude, I can't wait.
As
Halloween, my favorite holiday, like
right, it's gonna be. I can't wait. And I'm back in the days of Warcraft.
Bury me some candies or whatever. Give me some. Oh,
I can't wait. Go trick or treating, and there's gonna be all kinds of spooky events. I love it. I used to love like Warcraft at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Like I just love those seasonal events.
And even that I think is the point is to bring it back to Fortnite and in Animal Crossing in the same vein, right? Because we're talking about similar things. That will bring people back, but it will never bring it back to its peak. It will never bring it back to when it was the hottest thing in the world, right? I think that's
right.
Because even when Fortnite got, before they started chapter two here, right? And blew up their world and sucked everything into the hole.
Right.
Even that was newsworthy and cool, but I didn't see that many. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I guess the people that I played with, I didn't see that many go, man, when they start season two, I got to jump in. I got to go see what it is. It was, oh, that's a really cool thing. I'll pay attention to it, but I'll see if I ever get to it.
It's really, really hard for a game like Fortnite or any game to sustain dominance over the long period in a world in which there's always a new bright, shiny object. Like right now, Valorant is the bright, shiny object.
Right.
Everyone's playing that. That's extremely popular. And that's a direct competitor to Fortnite. Now, whether or not it's any better or worse than Fortnite, I don't know. I haven't played it. But what I do know is it's new. It's hot. And everybody wants to check it out right now.
Yeah.
I think what Fortnite is doing very cleverly is what all of these big games are doing now is that everyone's falling into this. There's a season. There's always a new refresh. They're constantly providing new content, constantly building up to new events. You know, it's like WWE, right? Like not everyone watches it every week, but everyone likes to watch SummerSlam and WrestleMania and the big events. And video games are now turning into these kind of calendar-driven experiences, which I think is great.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I don't think Fortnite will ever get back to the top where it was, but I think it's still obviously the biggest thing going and does all these crazy things. Back to this question that I asked you a long time ago, I think it's probably a little bit of column A and a little column B of like they fell behind on what they wanted to do in chapter two, season three. God, it's confusing trying to remember all this shit. But also, yeah, working from home, I'm sure fucked everything up. But it also doesn't matter. Everything's getting delayed all the time now. So who cares, Gary? There's nothing to play.
I hear you.
I hate it. No, I'm kidding. There's tons of play. Number two in the Roper Report, though. Let's talk about the Cooking Mama drama getting even weirder. We're going to read from James Batchelor over at GamesIndustry.biz. But have you kept up with this, Gary? Have you heard about Cooking Mama?
Is this the crypto thing?
Yes, but no, it turns out. So if
tell me.
If you remember, they had talked about Cooking Mama Cookstar coming out. It suddenly came out and then got taken down. Then there was no reason why that had happened. Everybody didn't know. Then there was a rumor that the reason they thought it was the fact that it was because of this crypto thing. And now we have a real reason. So now we're going to read from James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Japanese games firm Office Create has clarified the confusion of the release of Cooking Mama Cookstar and is taking legal action against its publisher, Planet Entertainment. The Switch game was recently released in the US, Europe, and Australia, although listings were quickly pulled from stores, including the Nintendo eShop, and physical retailers listed it as out of stock. Initially, there were rumors that this was connected with blockchain functionality and accusations that it used the Switch's hardware to mine cryptocurrency. But the developer, First Playable, stated this was not the case. Now, a statement from Office Create reveals the release was unauthorized, and it terminated Planet Entertainment's license to use Cooking Mama's IP on March 30th. It is, quote, evaluating all legal action against Planet to protect its IP and customers. Quote, unfortunately, the quality of the game builds failed to meet the standard that our customers expect and deserve, the company wrote. Office Create rejected a wide range of deficiency affecting the overall feel, quality, and content of the game. Yet, despite being contractually obligated to correct the identified deficiencies and resubmit the corrected game for Office Create's approval, Planet proceeded to release Cooking Mama Cookstar without addressing all of the rejections and without Office Create's approval, end quote. Office Create terminated the license due to, quote, Planet's intentional material breach of the license contract, and notes that the publisher continues to promote and sell Cookstar in willful violation of Office Create's rights. GamesIndustry.biz has reached out to Planet Entertainment for clarification and comment. Holy shit.
So I tried to follow that, and I don't know if I got the right takeaway from it, but the developer is unhappy that the publisher has been releasing builds that they don't think are good enough to release. Is that right?
So it's that the people who own it, Office Create, owns the Cooking Mama IP, right?
Okay.
And so then they were working on the developer, First Playable, who were working with them to make the game. But the people who were publishing it were Planet Entertainment. So right. Planet Entertainment had been licensed to publish and do these Cooking Mama games. And so on top of that one, I'm double checking as I go. So basically it's like you own Book of Eli. I don't know. But you own Book of Eli.
I wish.
Yeah, right. You own the Book of Eli IP. You give it out to this publisher to work on this game, right? They're working on it and being like, okay, cool. They submit it to you for your final approval. And you're like, no, this fucking sucks. And then they're like, fuck you. And they release it. That's what happened.
Okay. So where did the whole crypto thing come from?
That was a rumor. That was. I mean, like when this happened,
there was bullshit.
Yeah, well, apparently, right? Even Games Industry's article, right? Initially, there were rumors that this was connected with the blockchain functionality, the accusations that it used Switch's hardware to mine cryptocurrency. But yeah, that apparently, but developer First Playable stated that was not the case. Now, the statement from Office Create reveals the release was unauthorized and terminated Planet Entertainment's license to use Cooking Mama on as an IP on March
3rd. So, can you still go to the eShop and buy it?
No, it's been removed from there.
Okay. Okay.
But I think it's like, if it's still out there in other avenues or other things, you can get
it. God, what a mess.
Right? It's crazy. Yeah. Frank Furta wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Greg and Gary. The Cooking Mama saga heats up as now Office Create is looking into legal actions against Planet Entertainment for releasing the game when advised not to and continue to sell well past the takedown notice of the digital version. My question is, what motive does Planet Entertainment have to keep trying to put this game on shelves? Sure, it's selling in the aftermarket like hotcakes, due to the game probably never going to see the light of day, but the game is unoptimized and frankly, not fun, even if it was. I don't understand why they are shooting themselves further in the foot. It's a great question, Frankfurter. I would go even further back and be like, what the fuck were they thinking, period? What was Planet Entertainment ever thinking with this, that they were going to get away with this?
I mean, like, they sound like the villains of the piece, right? So Office Create own the IP.
Right.
They license it to Planet Create to publish.
Yeah.
But then I can't even keep track of the names anymore, but like,
it's, so okay.
Planet Entertainment have builds of the game that Office Create are telling them aren't good enough to release, but they release them anyway.
Right.
Okay. And they're clearly not good enough to release because once people get them, they can see that there's these problems.
Correct.
So, I mean, just Planet
IGN's review is up right now.
It sounds like a shady operation to me.
IGN's review right now is up and it's a 3.0. Awful.
Wow.
Cooking Mama Cookstar is bogged down by monotony, poor motion controls, nightmarish voice acting, and practically nothing new to offer. Whether it's the lack of consequences for failure, the obnoxious voice acting, the bland single player modes, the lackluster multiplayer minigames, or the complete lack of meaningful progression, Cooking Mama Cookstar is a tedious game that does almost nothing well.
Wow.
The write-up from Travis Northup, by the way.
That's a shame because Cooking Mama is a really well-liked franchise, so this is kind of a stain on its reputation.
Well, totally, and I think, honestly, yes, everything you just said is true, and that's why so many eyes were on this in a weird way, where I think, you know, dozens of games come out to the eShop every week, and I don't think people would notice if they got pulled down, nor would they be headline after headline.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that there is an affinity, for myself included, for Cooking Mama, right? That people love Cooking Mama. And so it coming back, coming out of the blue, what is this game nobody really knows about, gets people excited. And so you can see, I think, to some extent, both sides of this, where Office Create obviously is sitting there going, we have a reputation to uphold. We know we have a fan base. We need this game to hit certain levels of quality. You're not allowed to put this 3.0 awful fucking game out, right? Meanwhile, you have Planet Entertainment, I guess, thinking they're going to make a quick buck on this, and then I guess think that if they must think that legally they're within their rights. That's the only way I can do it. Cause there's no way you can go, I'm going to make so much money on this that I'll be able to get out of any lawsuit.
This does sound to me like there's probably lawsuits, you know, being prepared right now. Office Create, I would be furious because, you know, Cooking Mama is an IP that's worth a lot of money to my company. And it's sold a lot of copies over the years. And it's going to be worth more going forward by putting out, against their wishes, an inferior version of the game, that not just about that game is going to be bad, but like that is going to diminish the value of the whole franchise going forward. Like the next Cooking Mama, but the last one was shitty. So they don't buy it. So this is like, I don't think it would necessarily be difficult to make a legal case that this has really inflicted serious kind of financial harm on them by diminishing the value of the brand.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So yeah, I obviously, a super weird one that continues to develop, but to get it out here and have it now be, it goes from nobody knows why this is happening to blockchain bullshit to now, no, they just released this game. We told them not to release. That's an interesting one. With an IP as big as Cooking Mama. Again, I'm sure smaller things like this happen all the time or have happened, but this is a head scratcher for me in terms of things
I've
seen. What
a dumb story.
Number three, Gary, and I want to have a bigger conversation about this as well. We want to say rest in peace to EGM again. Kinda, not all the way. This is Josh Harmon at EGM.
Yesterday. I read the little piece they put up.
Let's get to the point. As of today, EGM will no longer be publishing the daily features that have defined the site since we relaunched last year. The site itself isn't going anywhere, and our feature archive will stay up for the foreseeable future. When we started working on this latest incarnation of EGM, we firmly believed that there was a need for more long-form feature writing about games, for thoughtful, in-depth articles about games and the ways they intersect with culture and human stories. Other sites were, and still are, publishing work in that vein, but far many more stories were going untold. We still believe this, more than ever, in fact, even if EGM won't be the home to these stories anymore. The work we publish regularly, featured in roundups of the best gaming writing, like Critical Distance and Video Game Deep Cuts. The feedback we receive from our readers, from talented writers, and from those working in the game industry was frequently astounding and humbling. This is, of course, a testament to the skill of the freelancers who were kind enough to bring their work to us. But we'd like to think it also validated our mission and our editorial vision. We are proud to have done something that didn't just generate traffic for sake of traffic, to have published features that never felt disposable and were always rooted in a sense of humanity. Should the gaming press, or game journalism, or games writing, or whatever you want to call it, lose the ability to seek out and tell original stories using the power of the written word, it won't just miss out on an enormous opportunity. It'll also be risking its own future. There's certainly a place for access journalism and for reporting PR announcements as news. But those things become less and less necessary as publishers build more channels for communicating directly with fans. Clickbait, listicles, and news cycle outrage pieces may generate page views, but they don't enrich the conversation around video games, and they're not enough to ensure a healthy, independent, and thoughtful gaming press. Our shared hobby deserves so much more. Then Josh followed up on Twitter because it was a little bit, I think so many people reported on the headline. Because there's apparently been some confusion, as of now, EGM's daily news coverage will continue. The features that were the focus and showpiece of the new site will not. Beyond that, I cannot say what, if anything, the future has in store for EGM as a brand. Now, Gary, this strikes me more for both of us as the lead off to Fortnite, right? Because frankly, I was not aware of what EGM was anymore or what it was doing now. If you know what I mean? Like, he talks about this.
Apparently, it's part of the problem.
Exactly. They talk about a site. They site relaunched, and this was a big part of it last year. And it's like, okay, I don't get me wrong. That sucks. That's sad. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that they had site relaunched and they were doing long form content, and that was their feature part of it.
Right.
My question to you, Gary, is reading and now for you listening through to everything Josh had to say there. Do you think there is still a place for long form games writing?
Yes, I think so. And that's demonstrated through the great work that's still being done over at Polygon, over at Kotaku, over at Waypoint. Games journalism over the years has really gotten a lot better and a lot more mature. When I was editing PC Gamer, we were basically just a reviews catalog, and we previewed games and reviewed games and interviewed developers. But we never really did, like, I don't think, what you'd consider like penetrating,
journalism.
Insightful.
Yeah.
Journalism with, like, you know, a social aspect or a political aspect. And so I think gaming journalism has grown up and earned the title journalism much more than it ever did back when we were reading, you know, when you were reading, like, when you read Game Pro, that wasn't fucking journalism, or Nintendo Power, that wasn't journalism. They were product catalogs, basically.
Sure.
And yeah, they reviewed the game. I think the reviews were legit and you could trust them, but there wasn't really much in the realm of, like, real journalism going on. There is now, and that's great. And Polygon and Kotaku and IGN and Waypoint and other sites like that are still doing great work. But yeah, I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. Like, you know, that you play that game with celebrities, like Dead or Alive. You name some celebrity, are they still dead or alive? You know, you don't know. If you just said to me yesterday, okay, I'm going to throw some gaming outlets at you, are they still going in some form or not?
Yeah,
I like, you said to me, okay, EGM, is that still a thing? I honestly couldn't have told you.
Yeah.
Game, like, I'll give you another one. Game Pro, is that still a thing? Do you know?
GamePro is not a thing anymore, no.
I don't know. Is it? I don't know. Does it have a website? I have no... Like, you have to look it up.
Here's the thing. Before I even search it, it's
you don't
that
even know if
the GamePro and EGM we knew and grew up with and think about is no more. That's right. The thing. And I remember when... I still remember, you know, I think I still have it in a box somewhere, because I, you know, EGM was my Bible growing up. EGM was my fucking thing. I still have my PS2 launch thick-ass guide from EGM. I remember when EGM... finally kicked the bucket and they put out their final magazine, and I got that at IGN and I was like, holy shit, like, this is crazy. And then I remember when EGM Now came around, and I then remember all these soft reboots they've had a million times, to the point of, like, no, EGM's not in my, you know, search bar in terms of where I would go look for it. And so, like, with a name like GamePro, like, I can't imagine nobody's picked that up to do anything with it, right? Like,
are you Googling it right now?
It goes to PCWorld.com now. So there
okay. Yes,
so
Game Pro's dead.
Yeah, so they snatched that up and shoved it in there.
I mean, here's a sad one for me. I didn't grow up reading EGM or Game Pro the way that a lot of American kids did. I grew up reading Zap64 and Commodore User and Crash and CNVG and those kind of magazines. We had different magazines in the UK, but I understand their historical importance. Like, and you know this, Greg, as well as I do. Those magazines that we read when we were kids, they were really meaningful to us. And I still think back really, really fondly. Like that, those were how we connected to the world of games before websites, before Kind of Funny, before we had this wonderful world that we live in now. We anxiously awaited the arrival, you know, when that magazine dropped through our mailbox. That was really exciting. We couldn't wait to read the latest reviews. And we felt like the reviewers were our friends, and like the house style of the magazine became something that we were really familiar with. I actually worked briefly alongside the EGM guys back at I worked on a project at Ziff Davis for a short while. And I was right next door to EGM back when it was a print magazine. And, you know, Shane Bettenhausen and Dan Shu and those guys, all great guys. And of course, it's all long gone.
Yeah.
And it's not in any way an indictment of those magazines. They were great magazines, but the fucking world's moved on, Greg. People don't really read print magazines anymore.
Well, here's the question though, Gary. Do people really read anything? Because that's more to my thing with Josh's stuff. Because not Josh's stuff in particular, but Josh's letter here talking about EGM and long form writing and stuff. Because I do think there's a place for long form writing. I do think it exists. You listed a whole bunch of different places, right? All do awesome stuff and has that in there. But as somebody who, even when I was at IGN, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, like, you were seeing that start to drop off. And now we get to a point where I have a degree in journalism, but all I do is talk anymore and podcast and make videos, because there's a business model and audience that makes more sense for that than a long.
But that's still journalism. Journalism isn't just the written word. You can be a broadcast. Sure.
Oh,
journalist.
I know. But I know. I'm not saying that, you know, everybody who makes a fucking YouTube video or podcast is a chucklehead like me. I'm saying that, but I do think that we are seeing the avenues for this stuff get smaller and smaller and smaller, right?
Right. No, I think you're right. And, you know, I do think there is still a place for the written word. I mean, and I know it's not just me. I mean, I like to read. I'm a writer. I like to read.
Yeah.
But whenever I bellyache about this, as I do constantly, a lot of people, I know I'm not alone. Well, like, for example, I'll tell you, this is a common scenario for me.
Please give me a common scenario.
Here's my common scenario. I see a tweet. I see a link that says something like, here's a really interesting article, a piece about video games. I click on it. And it's a video, and I fucking instantly switch it off because I wanted to read something.
I'm not always
in the mood to watch something. I wanted to read something, and that happens to me all the time. And honestly, I think largely that big quote unquote pivot to video that happened a few years ago, because there was this fallacious feeling out there that people just wanted to watch video and didn't want to read anymore. It turned out not to be true. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies that pivoted to video a few years ago lost their shirts over it, because it wasn't true. People still wanted to read. They didn't want to watch video all the time. And video is still great. There's a place for it. Kind of Funny's built on that. It's terrific. You know, Kind of Funny has no written articles at all. Sure, that's fun. That's what Kind of Funny is, you know, a lot of specialized, right?
That's why you've
carved out that place, and you're very, very good at it. Sites like IGN and Polygon and Kotaku are a mix of both. But sometimes I don't want to sit through a 10-minute video. I want to read something. And the fact is as well, since a lot of these companies have only been learning how to do video quite recently, they're still not very good. You know, the video component of a lot of these gaming websites isn't great. You can tell it's journalists that sign up to write articles who have now been shoved in front of a camera and told to be broadcasters, and they're not necessarily brilliant at it. You know, it's a whole new skill set that you have to learn. So I still think there's a place for the written word. But EGM is a really interesting case study, because when I read that article yesterday, and their kind of farewell article, and they had links to some of the really interesting pieces. I read some of those pieces. I was like, oh shit. Like, I wish I'd have known that they were doing this, because I would have read these articles. Yeah. I had no idea EGM was doing this kind of work. And I don't know if that's a failure of communication or there's just too much stuff out there.
I think this is back to my point, is that I still think there's a place for long form journalism. I think the problem is there are too many places now. There are too many things going on, in that even for EGM doing this, and this is me reading the letter from Josh and applying what he's talking about there, right? Even using it with freelancers, I think it's hard to make that then a destination for this is where I go to get the opinion of Gary, of Andrea, whoever, you know what I mean? Like of Damon at IGN. Like if you are like, because I mean, right now, like think about Jason, right? When you, we always say, oh, Jason from Kotaku. Jason Schreier and Kotaku are synonymous, right? Of like what Jason's doing at Kotaku, trying to write and what that means. So that I think I would argue without, I mean, I'm talking out my ass a bit because I go to Kotaku for Jason's articles. And I think a lot of people do that as well. I think that they, that is what they think of when they think of it. It's the same way of like, when you think of Vice, formerly Waypoint, right? I think of Klepek. I think of Austin. Like, I feel like that's the kind of identity you need in the same way if you, hey, I want to see fucking Greg eat an Oreo, you think it kind of funny. And so you're coming here for that kind of thing. You're coming for, so like, you can set, you can, I think that it's really hard to start up a site and not have a locked in personality, and that there's just going to be a bunch of freelancers doing different things and maybe not have one that's a huge draw or a tentpole to build around
and try to build. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And like the kind of articles that Jason and Klepek and these guys are writing are really important. Like, you know, like that massive piece that Jason dropped last year about, you know, why, you know, the really deep dive into why Anthem failed. Mm-hmm. I guess you could have done that as a video. But it worked better as a piece of written journalism.
Sure.
I think there's still an appetite for it. But again, I don't know the metrics. I'm not behind the scenes at Vice or Polygon or Kotaku. I don't know how many people are reading these articles. Like, the fact that EGM, which has, you know, a very, very well-known brand, maybe it may be a bit of an old school brand. Maybe it's something that like young kids growing up to, like you and I grew up knowing what EGM is, but the new generation of hip young youths who are playing video games these days probably couldn't tell you what EGM stood for. I mean, again, the very name is out of date, right? Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Electronic Gaming Monthly
sounds like it's something from the fucking Bronze Age, right? Yeah. Like it sounds old fashioned, which is why they went to, you know, most people probably could not tell you that IGN originally stood for Imagine Games Network. Now it doesn't stand for anything. You know, it's just IGN. It's just there, like the letters don't actually mean anything. And so, you know, we're going through a generational transition right now. And I think a lot of the value, the old brand names like GamePro and EGM and even PC Gamer that I used to work on, just, you know, younger kids just don't fucking care, I don't think.
Sad. They don't understand their history. Says me, who got EGM at his desk when he worked at IGN and never read it. They just piled up and I never actually cracked the spine. But so back when I was growing up.
You're the problem, Greg.
No, the world's the problem, Gary. Electronic Gaming Monthly, we do a show called Kind of Funny Games Daily. And if we wanted, we could do one Kind of Funny Games Hourly. There's enough shit happening all the time. Yeah. Kind of Funny Games every 15 minutes, we could do it. Tim, think about it. Number four on the Roper Report, Gamescom Live is officially iced. That's the live event. IGN updated their post to the original story. If you remember, we were going to get an update in mid-May of like, how are they going to handle it? The update has come from the German government. The German government has announced that all major events in the country will be prohibited until August 31st, meaning that Gamescom will almost certainly not take place as an in-person show this year. Organizers for Gamescom, which is due to take place between August 22nd and 24th, which isn't exactly correct, and I'll get to in a second, in some form, have yet to issue a public statement on it. If you remember in the original thing, there was the update when Keeley and the people from Gamescom were talking about it. They said fans can expect Opening Night Live and the Gamescom Now portal to return as the event determines how to expand its digital strategy. Gamescom will still take place from August 25th to the 29th, with the DevCom developer conference set August 22nd through the 24th. So I think IGN's update just talked about the DevCom stuff, not bringing in the fact that it's more like the 22nd through the 29th. And when they put out their statement originally, they said Gamescom is happening. It might just have to be digitally. And this makes it seem like it's definitely going to have to be digitally.
Yeah. And I hope they do that. I mean, I personally think the ESA have very, very badly in not pivoting to a digital event. We all assume they would. Why they're not?
Well, next year,
it absolutely baffles me. But yeah, and look, anyone over the past few weeks who thought that Gamescom was going to go ahead is a big dummy. Just like all the people that thought E3 was going to go ahead or arguing that it should go ahead until the very last minute. What it was they weren't seeing that was blindingly obviously to the rest of us, I don't know. But it is blindingly obvious to everyone at this point. This isn't really news. You know, if something's inevitable, it's just, hey, this is really news. Right? Yeah. Yeah, it's something that had to happen. Why it took this long to happen, I don't know. What were people like Trump just miraculously hoping this thing would fucking
Easter
go away overnight? You know, like, come on, that was never going to happen. Get real. You know, the idea that any event like this would take place is fantasy land at this point. And you know, this is when the media outlets have to step in. IGN's doing this, got this event coming up, Summer of Gaming, where you know they're stepping in and basically doing the ESA's job for them. You know, the kind of funny this is like kind of funny game showcase. This is where those kind of events can step in and provide the kind of content that, frankly, the ESA should be doing. I really would love to talk to the people at the ESA and say, why aren't you doing anything?
Because
like, your job
us.
Is to put on E3 every year.
Because everybody hates us. Nobody wants to work with us. Nobody wants.
Maybe.
To. Why? What? What encourages?
Then why do you exist? What's the point?
Ding, ding, Gary. Let's see what happens. Let's see how E3 looks next year. That's it. Ding, ding, ding. There you go.
Do you think there's a realistic chance E3 is just done? Like it'll just never come back.
It's always so hard to say because it's similar to EGM. Even when EGM was done, it came back twice now, three times now. Like I think that even if E3 and the ESA close up shop, I think next summer in the normal time period, there would be something. And I don't know who's doing it. I don't know how successful it would be. I don't know how big it would be. I don't know if it's in LA. I don't know any of those things. But I think E3 as we know it, yeah, is probably donezo.
I think a lot of, you know, we've talked about this a lot in the broader kind of social context, you know. Hopefully sooner rather than later, but it'll be a while, but we will eventually go back to something like normal, but it won't be the normal that existed before. It'll exactly. be a different normal. Like something, many, many things are going to be changed irrevocably. It's weird to think that, you know, we're living through history right now, Greg. People will be talking about this in 100 years. Yeah. And you know, we're living through it and, you know, not to get like too political, but like pretty much every single horrible flaw in our modern society has been laid bare and exposed by this thing. All of the social inequality, all of the economic inequality, all of the health system injustice and shit like that. It's all being laid bare.
Every seam is exposed. Yeah.
Every seam is exposed. And so when this is over, it really behooves us as a society to recognize that and start fixing this shit. Now, just in our little corner of the universe. Yeah. We're now asking ourselves the question, do we really need E3? Like we got by without it fine because IGN are kind of funny and other outlets stepped in and basically did a better job than the ESA.
Well, it's not even us. It's just, I mean, that's the biggest thing is like, you know, I say E3 is donezo, right? Because I do feel it's going to be this thing of, you know, Ubisoft and everybody, every other developer under the sun and publisher, and then people banding together. All these people are going to band together, make digital events and be like, oh man, this actually was great. This was easier and we had a more control and we got the message right to our people and everybody loved it more.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Why would we pay thousands of dollars to the ESA to go to the LA Convention Center?
It feels like a major derailment. Frankly, the ESA have been going downhill and you three grand. That to me was
bleeping you left and right.
History will regard that as the beginning of the end, the day that they crossed Greg Miller.
Once E3 did that to me, I put a hex on him. You know what I mean?
He who laughs last longest. And like, I don't understand it at all. Like ESA's job is to put on a show every year.
Yeah.
And we live in a digital world. If they can't put on a physical show, do what everyone else is doing and pivot to digital. The fact they just kind of went, oh, well, guess we don't do it. Won't do anything. Just like, I don't know. Why don't you get a job? You know, to the people at ESA, I would say, why don't you get a job you like? You know, because they apparently don't want to do this one.
I don't know. This is not traditional gaming news, but as we talk about, you know, do you think E3 would be back next year or whatever? The question is, will anything be back next year? Did you see this here? The Mercury News, coronavirus. Concerts, sports may not return until fall 2021, expert says. This is Jim Harrington at mercurynews.com. Missing going to concerts, sports games, and other large events? Better get used to it, says Zeke Emanuel, noting that it could be a much longer wait than many suspect before those things return to our lives. Emmanuel, Vice Provost for Global Initiatives and the director of the Healthline Transformation Institute at the University of Pennsylvania and host of the coronavirus podcast, Making the Call, tells the New York Times it could be well over a year before we're going to concerts and sporting events again. Quote, large gatherings, conferences, concerts, sporting events. When people say they're going to reschedule this conference or graduation event for October 2020, I have no idea how they think that's a plausible possibility, he is quoted as saying. I think those things will be the last to return. Realistically, we're talking fall 2021 at the earliest. So canceling the PAX
tickets. And the sooner we all accept that reality, the better, I think. Like, get used to it. This is not going to be easy. You know, we're not anywhere close to being out of this yet. I like the fact that Cuomo and other people are starting to talk about at least thinking about what the light at the end of the tunnel will look like. That gives us something to think about and be optimistic about. But in reality, we're nowhere close to that. So, and the last thing that's going to come back on stream is mass gatherings like rock concerts and sporting events and video game conventions and stuff like that. Forget about it. And, you know, I understand why it's hard for a lot of us to accept, because we live in a society, especially here in America, where we're used to instant gratification, instant satisfaction, getting what we want when we want. Now, for the first time in our lifetimes, we're being asked to get by with less and to suffer a little bit and to be deprived. And, oh, you know what? Guess what? You can't fucking have everything you want all the time. There's just nothing that can be done about that. And it's almost like having to talk to a child when you talk to, us coddled Westerners who live in these very rich capitalist societies. We're not used to having to get by with less. Now we have to do it. And I understand why people are upset, because this is the life that they've led their whole lives. Like, I just have whatever I want when I want it, and no one can tell me what, especially here in America. This is America. We can do what we want. And that's why you've got these idiots up until the last minute we're still going to the beach going, this is America. Yeah. And there's a fucking killer virus in America right now. So, you know, grow up and stay home and learn, even for just a few months of your very long life, learn to fucking get by with less for a little bit more. And maybe it'll do you good in the long run to understand what it's like to be at the other end of economic society, where you don't get everything you want all the time, where you do have to make choices. You can have this or that, but you can't have everything all at once. Maybe it'll actually put a bit of backbone in our society for us to be deprived and to say, you know, it's not because of a war or anything that we brought upon ourselves. It's because it's something that nature did to us. So, like, no one's to blame. I mean, obviously leadership is to blame for not, you know, dealing with it properly and making it worse than it needed to be. But, you know, this is a little reality check from Mother Nature to realize that you can't fucking have whatever you want all the time. And just for this short period, we have to learn to get by with less.
I realize this is coming to you, or you hadn't heard this thing about 2021, did you, until today?
No, just now, but it doesn't surprise me.
I was going to say, that was my thing. Do you think obviously it's one person's opinion, granted, University of Pennsylvania, he knows what he's talking about. Do you think is that trying to temper everybody for the long haul, or do you think that's actually more than likely that we're not going to have a gaming convention until 2021?
I would under promise and over deliver than over and under deliver. So unlike Trump going around saying, oh, you know, we're going to be back in business, you know, in a couple of months, which is only going to shoot himself in the foot, because that's not going to be the case. And he'll have to go back to his old act of saying, well, I never said that, like he does with every other fucking wrong thing he says every single day. I would rather be like Cuomo or any of the other, or the scientists throughout there saying, no, this is going to be hard. This is going to take a while. Like, you're going to have to suck it up for a bit. This is not going to be easy. And then if it turns out being better than that, great. I'd rather be pleasantly surprised than disappointed.
Yeah. In this vein, I have breaking news for you. A new number five, Kevin, if you're keeping notes. The Indie Mega Booth has posted over on IndieMegaBooth.com, farewell for now, a letter from Kelly Wallach, founder of the Indie Mega Booth. Of course, Indie Mega Booth, if you're not familiar, the huge part of every PAX where all the interesting games are, giving indies an awesome avenue to come showcase their work there. Hey everyone, I wanted to share with you all some news about the Indie Mega Booth. Due to circumstances around COVID-19 and the cancellation of many in-person events and the high level of uncertainty, we're planning to sunset Indie Mega Booth for the duration of the pandemic. After 9 years of working on and building the IMB, it was a difficult and disappointing decision to make. Realistically, though, we're a small team and this situation is bigger than us. Our primary focus right now is to stay healthy and safe through the COVID-19 situation as it's unfolding. The IMB team will stay on for this month to give a bit of softer landing and to help support the Steam sale we've been organizing for early May, which we're now affectionately calling going away, parentheses, for now, sale. My hope is that the Steam sale will provide an opportunity for you all to discover some great games and to create an opportunity for folks to pitch in and say thanks. The developers participating will do a pay what you want revenue share at the end. And we've set up a PayPal link for anyone who just wants to contribute to IMDb or IMD directly. The proceeds will be used to wrap up our financial obligations, set aside some money for maintenance, and help support the transition. Think of it as a thank you for our work in the past and to help us land on our feet. I've poured my heart and soul into building this and am constantly humbled and honored by our community and the games industry, which has been so welcoming and supportive. It's been an incredible journey, and I can't believe that all of this was even possible in the first place, let alone for 9 years. Although this is really sad, I want to celebrate all the good we were able to do together and the impact we all had on the indie scene as it was expanding and changing over the last decade. The best way to help support IMB right now is to help us kick off the end of this era with a bang during the Steam sale and send any love and happy memories our way. I'll be keeping the alumni list, mailing list, Discord, and social media channels alive while we're in hibernation. But this work will not be as active, since I'll be the only one maintaining things for now. Looking forward to the future and hope everyone is staying safe and healthy. Much love, Kelly, in the Indie Megabooth team. Super sad, Gary.
Yeah, it's kind of a bittersweet story, isn't it? I mean, it is ultimately sad, but it's tinged with this, like, there will be light at the end of the tunnel. They're doing what they can in the meantime, the Steam sale and other things that they can do digitally to kind of keep, you know, the pulse going.
Yeah.
To keep the heartbeat of this thing going while, like you said, while it's in hibernation, life support, whatever you want to call it. They'll be back. And, you know, like I said, this too shall pass. But yeah, in the meantime, it's really, really sad. My heart really goes out to indie developers and indie publishers who don't have the kind of infrastructure and financial resources to weather this the way that the big AAA companies do.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's, you said, even Kelly's thing is goodbye for now. But that's always such an uncertain statement, right? And I think you talk about momentum being such a big part of it, where for 9 years, the Indie Mega Booth has been building to the point where, honestly, for me, that's what PAX is about. PAX is about going to there, seeing the audience, doing panels, and going to the Indie Mega Booth. I'll swing by PlayStation's booth to say hi to developers or people working the booth that I know and, you know, buy a t-shirt. But I'm usually not there to see those games because I've seen them usually at another show. It's about going to the indies and seeing these new things and seeing who is on the stations for that day. Like, that's such a big part of it.
That's always my favorite part of, like, of PAX or let's talk about PAX specifically. When I was at PAX West last year, you walk around, you know, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, all the EA, all the big mega companies that, you know, but there's no, and it's nice to see that stuff, but there's no surprises there. You know what they're going to be showing. But what my favorite part of going to a show like PAX is going into that little, that crazy little kind of Diagon Alley of the indie mega booth, you know, where you never know what you're going to find. You know, it's, oh, what's this? Like some little game you've never heard of. Like you can make all these wonderful little discoveries that you can make. I discovered a bunch of cool little games. I'm going to blank on the name of it right now, but there was a little Steam game there, and it was maybe someone in chat can remind me, because I thought about it at the time. It was a dating game, but it was a dating game for seniors, and it was about finding love again, like in a senior's rest home. And it was just this really, really cool little sweet idea. And it was a really fun little game. And I thought it was delightful. And like dozens of little discoveries like that, these kind of games that don't have the marketing budgets to break through to the mainstream. When you go to Indie Mega Booth, like that's the biggest thing for me, the biggest difference. Sony, Iron Man V. That's cool. I knew you were showing, like I knew it though, because there's no big surprises at these shows. Go to the Indie Mega Booth, and you are, it's like going to like a cool, like kind of Middle Eastern bazaar or something with all these different stalls and, oh, what's this wonderful flavor, this aroma over here? What could that be? I get to try some exotic food I've never, it's called Later Daters. Leah just remembered, it's called Later Daters. That was the senior dating game. Really, Later really Daters, cool.
That's a great name.
Later Daters. And I would never have known about that game if I hadn't gone to Indie Mega Booth. And there are so many other games like that where you get to sample and try all these kind of crazy exotic foods that you otherwise would never.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to McDonald's whenever. Everyone is there. There's no surprises for you at McDonald's.
Sure.
But when you go to the Indie Mega Booth, you get to try all these kind of weird, different exotic flavors that you never would have tried otherwise.
Well, and that's the thing, is I worry, even if they're going to come back, I worry about how this fucks up the momentum and what they've done, right? And are they ready to come? When PAX decides they're ready to come back, is Indie Mega Booth ready to come back? And do they have to spin back up? Because, I mean, they had a team working on it, right? So if it's Kelly running it by herself, that team is inevitably going to move on and do other projects, not have as much time. Their life changes. You know, you get back in here, are you going to have the same amount of space? Are you going to have the same developers? Even if they can't get it and they don't have as much room, that means less indie developers are actually at the Indie Mega Booth making their game. Like,
Right.
I don't get me wrong. I know, of course, we have to talk about every time we talk about anything related to coronavirus. This is the ripple in our world when there are literally people dying right now from it. I get that. Right. I'm not trying to say this is apples to apples, but as we talk about this on a game show, I think it's important to
not to minimize it at all, because you're right. In the broader context, this is a smaller issue than people dying. But look, this is like we're here to talk about games, and we care about games, and indie developers are going to get hit really hard by this, and in our little corner of the universe, that matters.
Yeah. Number six on the Roper Report. This is another breaking item that is kind of bullshit. I would have told you already, but I saw the chat light up with it, and I saw you're wrong light up with it. Amazon France has posted a whole bunch of fucking shit that's making the world flip out. Wario64 has put them all up. He has Persona 5 Royal listed for PC on Amazon France. Then he has Uncharted, the Nathan Drake Collection, is listed for PC on Amazon France. Then Gran Turismo Sport is listed for PC on Amazon France. And then the Backbreaker, I'll show you this is bullshit. The Last of Us Part 2 is listed for PC on Amazon France. PCGamer.com, doing the real work out there, has a quote from Sega. This is Wes Felton. Sega says Persona 5 listing for PC on Amazon France is an error. The actual quote is, I reached out to Sega about Persona 5 Royal, who told me, quote, that listing is an error and we're looking into having it taken down and how it happened. So everybody, slow your fucking roll. You're not getting all these fucking games on. I mean, some of those you might get eventually. PlayStation already putting a few things on PC. But Last of Us Part 2, you're not getting anytime soon on PC. So
calm down. No, you're not. But I would just make a general point. One of the things, PC gaming, and PC gaming still fucking annoys me immensely all the time. And a lot of things that you say, Greg, when you make fun of PC gaming, are right. You're right when you make a lot of those criticisms.
I know it.
You know, I was a PC gamer for a long time. I was editor-in-chief of PC Gamer magazine for a long time. But because I play a lot of PC games, I'm also in the position to know that PC gaming can often be a colossal pain in the asshole.
Of course.
Having said that, there are some really great benefits, you know, and I won't get into like the technical stuff, but one of the things I love about PC gaming is that the PC platform is removed from the traditional console wars. Like if you have an Xbox, you're never going to play Death Stranding. If you have a PlayStation, you're never going to play Halo. But on PC, you can play both because they will bring those games to
just
you.
Just a few years later, and you can play all those games you want, right? All you have to do is sit there through another fucking TurboTax and a Minesweeper, maybe a couple fucking.
No, and the new Halo is day and date on PC and Xbox. So.
But wouldn't you rather play it on your Xbox One or Series or Xbox Series X, whatever the fuck it is?
Seven on the Roper Report. I could play on my PC that's already five times as powerful as
that. Yeah, but then guess what's going to happen is I'm going to put out all these. No, fuck, that actually wouldn't happen with that one. I was going to make a cross-platform joke, but that'll probably be fine, right? But anyway, number seven. This is we'll go quick on this one. Pokemon Go is adding remote raid passes. With a remote raid pass, an upcoming new item, you'll be able to join any raid battle you can see on the nearby screen or that you can tap on the map. Only one remote raid pass will be required to join each raid, and you'll be able to hold a limited amount of remote raid passes at a time. There's more on this, obviously, but we're running late. If you know Pokemon Go and you care, look into that. Of course, this is, again, Niantic and Pokemon Go being a game that encouraged you to wander the streets with strangers, now pivoting to, fuck, how can we keep you playing this game from the safety of your house? And again, it is cool to see them coming in and making concessions and making changes and trying to stay relevant in a world
that's
drastically changed around them.
I hear you.
Gary.
Yes.
I can't wait to tell you about what's coming to Mom and Grop Shops. But first, I want to tell you about the sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, you can write in and be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can also get the post show each and every weekday, and you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Gregway, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. You know Hims because we talk about it all the time, ladies and gentlemen. Hims has been a supporter of Kind of Funny for a long time. That's why we want you to support them. Hims, of course, is a one-stop shop for skincare, sexual wellness, and hair. That's what Andy and Nick use it for. They noticed their hair was thinning. They reached out on forhims.com. They talked to a doctor confidentially, discreetly, on their own timetable. They didn't need to go to a waiting room. They didn't need to make an appointment. They didn't need to get across town. They just set up a time on forhims.com, talked to a doctor. The doctor, you know, went through their medical history, looked at what they needed, said, hey, what's up with this? And Andy was like, I play a guitar. And he's like, that's not relevant information right now. Instead, though, the doctor prescribed them medication to treat hair loss. Of course, Hims connects you with the real doctors online, and you save hours and all this different stuff. You answer a few quick questions, doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that's shipped directly to your door. Right now, our listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to 4hymns.com/gamesdaily. That's 4hymns.com/gamesdaily. Prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. This offer is valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See the website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's 4hymns.com/gamesdaily. Up next, it's Quip. Quip, makers of the electric toothbrush, want you to know there's one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this: if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing twice a day for 2 minutes, flossing regularly, and no matter what brand you use, taking care of them chompers. You know, Kind of Funny is a Quip family. I have it. Tim has it. Jen has it. Joey has it. Gia has it. Nick has it, I believe. I forget if Blessing ever got on the train, but basically Quip is the thing that comes around and says, hey, moron, you weren't brushing your teeth long enough. And you go, really? And then you get it and you're like, oh yeah. What it is, of course, is a little toothbrush you get, you pop it in your mouth, you hit the button, and it goes, you brush for 30 seconds, then it vibrates, you switch around to all the quadrants. 2 minutes later, you're done, and you're like, man, I was not brushing my teeth long enough. On top of that, though, they ship the brush heads directly to your door every 3 months, along with a new battery. You can get floss with it, you can get toothpaste with it. Basically, you can put your mind on autopilot for when you need to switch your toothbrush. Before I used Quip, this was always a problem. I'd pick up this toothbrush and I'd be, you know, months, probably way too late, like, this thing is garbo. Why am I still using it? Quip makes sure that never happens. So join over 3 million healthy miles and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. Gary, I'm excited to get to a point where social distancing is over and I can see Blessing's teeth again up close and personal and see how that Quip worked. But that's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shop, where would I go?
Oh, God, I can't remember. I'm blanking on it. Let me try. I'm going to do my best here. Bear with me. The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday. How was that?
Close? You missed one word. You switched out. You said it's across each and every platform. I think you said on each and every platform.
Yeah, that's like not bad, though.
It's like a 98%.
I got like a 9.9 from the judges on that one.
Exactly. Out today, Phantasy Star Online 2 is on Xbox One. Vampire the Masquerade Quarteries of New York is on Xbox One. Blind Men is on Xbox One. Fishing Sim World Pro Tour Collection is out. I don't have date for some reason. I don't have where that game went to. Doubles Hard is on Switch. Rock and Roll Pinball is on PC. Circle Empire Rivals is on PC. Jade Cicada is on PC. Area 86 is on PC and Mac. Super Bounce Ball PC. And then Viking Heroes is on PC as well. New dates for you. Ryan McCaffrey, friend of the show at IGN, says developer Saber Interactive, who was recently acquired by the Embracer Group for an industry-rattling $525 million, has announced World War Z Game of the Year Edition. The new package for the co-op third-person shooter will include new content such as weapon packs, character packs, and most notably, a new three-mission PvE episode set in the French city of Marseille. It also packs in all the previously released DLC. A Nintendo Switch version is also in development, though no release date has been confirmed. You can get Game of the Year on May 5th for $50 on Xbox and PlayStation 4, $45 in the Epic Game Store. Then Kevin at GameSpot writes, Capcom is rolling out another new update for Monster Hunter World's Iceborne expansion next week. Title update 13.5 arrives on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on April 23rd and introduces two new monster variants to hunt along with new equipment to forge. Pixel Rip 1995 VR retro gaming homage to the 90s launches April 23rd on Oculus Quest and Rift and Steam. PlayStation VR is coming in May. F1 2020 is coming to PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Stadia, July 10th, 2020. And then Landlords Super launches April 30th on Steam Early Access. Deals of the day for you. Xbox has a tweet up right now. The Xbox One X is now $299. That's a $100 discount. I'm not sure if that's everywhere or just through Xbox.com. You can check the tweet. And then Game Pass is getting an update for PC. These are the games coming soon to PC. Deliver Us the Moon, Gato Roboto, Gears Tactics, Hyper Dot, Level Head, The Long Dark, and Machinarium, which I always screw up when I try to say it because it's a weird title for me, a stupid kid.
I don't know why people slept on World War Z, Greg, but I did at the time when it first came out. A couple of players, they needed an extra player to play in their squad. And I played a couple of nights with him. I gotta say, I really enjoyed it. It really scratches that Left 4 Dead itch.
Totally right. Yeah, I remember playing in previews and liking it. And when it launched, I got you the code, and we had the best intentions of playing.
Yeah, and I fucked up. I didn't get to play it. But then, like, I had a second opportunity because I only want to play with friends. I don't want to play with randos or by myself. But a couple of writer friends of mine who play regularly said, "Hey, do you want to? We need an extra man. Do you want to come in?" And I played, and I really, really enjoyed it. And the one thing it does incredibly well is, remember how the movie did those like big swarms, like those tidal waves of zombies? It does that brilliantly, brilliantly well. And I really, really enjoy playing it.
We should boot it up, man. Blessing was just talking about this the other day, too. We could boot it up with him. Yeah. I'd say Kevin could, too, but he won't download it, just like he didn't do The Division, like he said he would. But this is a great segue to Squad Up, where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, give me your name, username, platform choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Grayling Thibodeau. No, it's Thibodeau, right? Thibodeau. Needs help on the Xbox. He puts in parentheses, the best box. His gamer tag is MF98SpacePaint. Or you can get him on Activision at Grayling, #1435799. Good morning, Gary and Greg. I was recently laid off last week, so what better time to squad up with some best friends in Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, or Apex? I'm available at all random hours because of the whole not having a job and whatnot. Thanks and have a blessed day. Everybody hit up Grayling if you want to play some games on Xbox. Again, Activision code Grayling, #1435799.
That reminds me, I actually got to get back into playing some Warzone. That game really got its hook. And then Animal Crossing, right up until that point.
Yeah.
Warzone was the most fun I've had playing a first-person shooter since PUBG, and I haven't played PUBG in like over a year. Really, really, really liking Warzone a lot.
Okay.
Played some with Snowbike Mike. Really good fun. Okay.
Gary, I have a required reading from you. Of course, okay. It's from Jason at Kotaku. Headline is this, 18 months after Red Dead Redemption 2, Rockstar has made big cultural changes. Of course, Jason reported on all the trouble and the crunch and all that stuff at Rockstar back when this was happening. Now he's got an update here. His intro is recapping all of it, so I'm jumping into the article and giving you just a couple graphs. Again, Kotaku, go check it out. Now, however, the climate appears to be shifting at the long-running game studio. Interviews with 15 people who either work at Rockstar or left within the last year paint the picture of a company that's changing in significant ways. As one Rockstar staffer described it to Kotaku, management seems to now be set on, quote, running the company like a company. Rockstar declined to provide an interview or comment for this story. Quote, it does seem like a healthier culture overall, said a second Rockstar developer. We'll see in a year or two if I'm pulling my hair out, but it does seem like we're moving in the right direction for being a company the size we are, end quote. Even today, with production slowed down and staff working from home due to the coronavirus pandemic, the company's management seems to be saying the right things. Quote, they keep emphasizing that it's normal to not be productive and our focus should be on our health and taking care of our families, said a third Rockstar employee. So definitely a required reading, obviously. Yeah, we want, this is what people always talk about, this like, oh man, like what Jason's, you know, kicks over all these rocks, and, you know, obviously Cecilia too with her Riot coverage. You know, they do all these different things. Like, does it actually matter? And here you see, like, it actually matters, right? If we sound the klaxon that there's trouble, it can lead to positive change, apparently, obviously.
Yeah, I applaud that. And again, you know, it's one thing to say that they're doing it, it's another thing to do it. You know, hopefully, you know, again, this is why gaming journalism matters. Hopefully the likes of Jason and the other journalists out there will continue to monitor that and keep their feet to the fire and report back if it turns out that they're not doing those things. It's, you know, it's a real issue. I mean, even, you know, companies like Naughty Dog that, you know, I thought of as one of the good guy developers, you know, we saw these reports recently that they've had big issues with crunch and issues with their company culture. And it's rife. It's everywhere. And it needs to change. And this is one of the reasons why real gaming journalism matters, because if the media doesn't hold them accountable, do you think they're going to hold themselves accountable? No, nothing will change until they're kind of shamed into doing it. So good for Jason and good for Rockstar if that's indeed what they're doing.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for You're Wrong. So are people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Gary, perfect show.
As always, a perfect call, Greg.
And although your wrongs were breaking news because so much stuff was happening, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Sometimes I don't do it because I want to hold it till the next news day. But these things with Amazon France, it all got resolved as we went. The Indie Mega Booth was actually sent by my wife, Jen, back there somewhere. Yeah, it's a great show, Gary. Great job. You know what I mean?
We never do a bad show, Greg. We're just too good.
No, that's 100%.
Effortless. We make it look easy. It's effortless.
Now,
put two other bozos on here and let them do what we make it look easy.
That's what I was going to say. Tomorrow it's me and Blessing, and then Friday it's Blessing and me. Can we hold a candle to this show? Probably not. I drag Blessing
down. You're the glue
that
holds it all together, Greg.
You know what I mean? I make him very, very worse, and that's a big problem.
Hey, do you have time for a quick plug from me?
Oh, please. Of course, Gary.
5 o'clock. I wouldn't usually, what am I talking? I fucking plug my shit on here all the time.
You do. Yeah, you do.
Completely business as usual for me. This is a good one, though. 5 o'clock tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific time, IGN is doing a live Rogue One watch along.
Oh,
me and fellow screenwriter Chris Weitz. Chris and I were two of the writers of that film. And IGN started a thing recently called Watch From Home Theater, where you watch the movie along with a live video commentary with the IGN hosts and the filmmakers. And they're not obviously streaming the movie because Disney would not approve of that. But like, if you've got the Rogue One Blu-ray or you have access to Disney Plus, it's streaming on Disney Plus. You can even get like a free 14-day thing to Disney Plus if you don't want to pay anything at all. Queue up Rogue One. We all kind of press play at the same time together, so we're all queued up. And Chris and I will talk you through the movie and how we wrote it and give you behind-the-scenes info. And it's going to be really fun, and that's at 5 o'clock Pacific time tonight. The easiest way to tune into that would be youtube.com/IGN on IGN's channel. We'll be doing that live watch-along. And then immediately after that, I'll be doing my regular Twitch stream at twitch.tv/GaryWitter. The hope is that once we're done, some of the IGN audience will come over and I'll do like an additional Q&A on the movie and also some of the stuff I regularly do on my stream, like, you know, watch Russian face slapping videos and stuff like that. Yeah. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm doing, like I said, that charity stream at 2 p.m. today. The raid should take between 2 and 3 hours. If I can time it out right, I'll host you right afterwards. I'll raid you for a change. How about that? Or IGN, I guess, not you.
I would love that.
All right, great. Oh, ladies and gentlemen,
I don't think you can raid a YouTube channel, but I appreciate
it. But they co-stream everything, don't they?
I don't think they have a Twitch. I'm not seeing it. I'm looking at the website right now, and it says watch it at IGN's channel. Although the last time I tried to watch one of these things on IGN's own channel, the embedded video player was fucking broken.
He left with a piece of code.
I know, right? And obviously it's all fallen apart since then. I moved to their YouTube channel works great, and they also have a thing called Cinefix's YouTube is also hosting it. You follow, go to my Twitter and I'll post a link to that sometime today, and you'll be able to find that link easily. 5 o'clock p.m. Today, youtube.com/IGN. Me and Chris Weitz will watch Rogue One, A Star Wars Story with you and provide a live commentary track.
Brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday, we are live with the news for you. You can get on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can get on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, thank you for your support. Consider sharing it with your friends, subscribing, liking, all that jazz. You can even go above and beyond and go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can ask questions, get the show ad-free, and watch the post show we're about to record. Remember, I'm here at 2 p.m. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, streaming The Division Raid with Fran and friends. Gary, IGN.com at 5 p.m. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.